Pro Football Hall of Famer Isaac Bruce and Doc Holliday are rambling about those Los Angeles Rams. Ramble on. How are you? Welcome to another episode of Ramblings with Isaac Bruce and Doc Holliday. I am Doc Holliday. He is Isaac Bruce. Isaac, another happy, happy Monday, man. First of all, how you doing, bro? How was your weekend?
Hey, all is well, man. Good weekend. A better Monday. Welcome to Victory Monday, as we should be saying again, man. I brought my broom to work. So I'm excited about this win yesterday, man, and just sweeping the entire NFC East. So pretty exciting, Doc.
Indeed, man. The LA Rams done it again. Bro, we went out east, as Isaac just said, man, took on another NFC East team and once again beat the brakes off them. This time, we did it to the Washington football team. Our Rams went to D.C., man, went to Washington and put in work, man. Final score. Good guys. 30. Them. 10. And Isaac, I just love the way, man, we came out and dominated this ball game. Now, we talked about Jared Goff and that offense trying to get off to a fast start, bro. And they did that Sunday against the Washington football team. First three times we had the ball, bro, we got touchies, touchdown drives. Impressive win, bro.
Indeed. You know what? Hats off to the coach Sean McVay and his coaching staff having the guys ready to play. And hats off to the players, man, being professionals and going into this game, just like we discussed last week, with a mentality of doing your job, being ready to execute, and really not looking at the schedule or the team record of the record of the team that you're playing, but really just really focusing on who you are and who this team is as players, and just going out, starting early, continuing out through the entire game, four quarters of football, and having just a dominating performance, man, on all three facets of the game.
And talking about one of those facets, man, and one particular person that we just talked about, man. Jared Goff, man. I predicted that he was going to have a big game. I predicted that he was going to have a good game, and he came out and did indeed have a good game. Now, he did have one pick, man, but we're going to scratch that, bro. I mean, the efficiency that Jared is showing, man, the level of confidence and the high level of play that he's playing with, man. I mean, you know, he's not going to be in the NFL MVP talk right now because you got other guys like Russell Wilson that's just straight, just being ridiculous so far. But Goff, man, 21 to 30, 309 yards, two touchdowns, man. Just once again, he was sacked only one time. And that says a lot because that Washington football team, defensive line, man, is pretty good, man. But we've talked about it, man, and we can't talk about it enough, man. Jared Goff, week in and week out, man, he just continues to show us that he is indeed the Jared Goff that took us to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he's putting out a great brand of football right now. Jared Goff is, and you know, just being the leader of this offense, this team, you know, I don't think it's a real stretch to start to mention Jared's name within the MVP race. I mean, you kind of look at the schedule, you look at the team's record. Five games into the season, the teams that we've played and the traveling that we've had to travel this short, brief amount of time since the season started. So it's not a stretch. I mean, I think you can put up his team, his stats so far this year and compare them with the other guys that are being mentioned as MVPs. He's not far from it. So he's doing a great job. He's leading the football team, making big plays. Keeping plays going when he has to, scrambling when he needs to, but he's also delivering accurate, catchable passes to his receivers, and he's feeding just about everybody that can eat on that offense.
Now, we're going to continue to talk about Jared and their offense, man, but Aaron Donald went to Washington, man, and I don't even know because I keep saying the same thing, man. The way this dude destroys offensive linemen, man, whether it's one, two, three, and once he gets his hands on the quarterback, man, he just absolutely devoured Kyle Allen and Alex Smith a couple of times, man. What AD and that defense did, man, against Washington, man, they held the Washington football team to 108 total yards, bro. 2 yards a play. And AD raising all that hell, man, and he got a lot of help from Troy Reader. But AD and this defense, man, hey, bro, that's a huge salute to this L.A. Rams defense, man.
You know what, Doug? I don't think Aaron gets enough national respect. I mean, for what he's doing, the way he's playing, he's ferocious out there. I mean, this guy has made up in his mind that he will not be blocked by anybody or any two bodies. Now, here's the thing. I mentioned Jared Goff being within, should be mentioned within the MVP conversation. Well, that conversation already includes Aaron Donald. This guy's playing magnificent football right now, man. And he's just doing everything that he's been asked to do and some. And you can see the effects that he's having on his teammates. Guys like Reader stepping up. It's pretty safe to say that, you know, Aaron Donald was probably responsible for 7 sacks yesterday. Because, you know, with Reader getting 3, 4 on his own, strip sack. This guy's just playing amazing football. He doesn't get enough shine. I think we should be screaming his name on the mountaintop because, you know, we're looking at a guy that's probably 260, 255 pounds, and he's demolishing 300 pounders, man, with technique, skill, and leverage. So on this show, he's going to get the respect that he deserves and some.
AD, 4 sacks, 3 tackles for loss, man, a forced fumble, man. Of course, he got pressure on the quarterbacks all day, man. And just, I mean, we can't talk about him enough. I mean, I'm still amazed at how dominant this dude is. Just like Isaac just said, man, he's not the biggest dude. He's not the tallest dude. And we all know in football, man, it is about leverage, man. If I can get my pads under your pads, man, and I got some strength, I got you. But not only that, when he doesn't have leverage, man, he's destroying these big dudes, man. And I know when they line up and see AD, man, because 4 sacks in one game, man, from the defensive lineman, man, and what he is doing, man, I think he has 7.5 sacks so far this season through 5 games. So, bro, that's we got, 16 games, man? 3 is 15, so they say we got 10. Man. He's on pace, man. They had like 21, 22.5 sacks. Dog, that's ridiculous, man. I mean, just the level of play that this dude plays with, man. We can't talk about him enough, man. Have you ever seen a defensive lineman his size just dominate the way he dominates? Now, we know Warren Sapp was good, but AD, though, dog?
Well, we're talking about just, you know, his physical stature. I mean, 6 feet, 260, 255. I don't think it's been seen, Doc. I mean, you're talking about a throwback mentality type guy who has, you know, the motor that he has, man. He plays with the mentality of being a guy that's trying to make the team. I mean, he has a motor. He's coming at you. He's forcing guys to be perfect as far as their technique is concerned on the offensive side of the ball. And when you sit down in a meeting room with a guy like that, I mean, you can't help but to get excited not only about his play, but the opportunities that he's providing you. He's giving you more one-on-one options if you're lining up next to this guy. So the defensive ends on our team, man, they should be, you know, chopping at the bit and from the opportunities that Aaron Donald provides for them. So he's getting great push up the gut, and these guys should be coming off the edge. But he's affecting everything for the Rams, offensively, defensively, and from a special team standpoint, man. We talk about MVP. This guy should be at the very top of the list when you're mentioning that award for this season.
I wholeheartedly agree with you, man. And another LA Ram, man, actually a substitute came in and had an MVP type game, man. You just mentioned Troy Reader, man, the linebacker, man. Micah Kizer was hurt. Couldn't play. Reader steps in, bro. 11 tackles, 3 sacks, man. And regardless of who you got in front of you, you got Aaron Donald, if you got Reggie White, if you got Lawrence Taylor, man, you in an NFL game with 3 sacks, man, especially in the linebacker position, bro. That's extremely good, man. So shout out to Troy Reader as well, man, because he took advantage of the opportunity, man, with Micah being out. And we know, man, when you step up and you get a chance to play, you got to show that you deserve to play. And Reader gets a salute as well, man, because a huge game for him.
Oh, indeed, man. In this game, in this league, there's no such thing as a backup. I mean, you're only a backup in title. But once you get on that field, man, your level of production is to maintain what was ahead of you and to exceed it. I mean, make sure that you increase that production. But when a guy can step in and come in and you don't lose anything, but you start to gain more production, man. Hats off to Reader, man. Great game by him. Hats off for him paying attention in the meetings and knowing his assignment, because a lot of guys, they tend to fall asleep. If they're not playing, they could fall asleep, fall off the set, and then when the opportunity comes, they're not prepared to play. So got to be prepared to play. Rita took advantage of that, and it ended up in 3 sacks.
Now, we've said some things about this L.A. Rams defense, man, that they need to play better. We went into this ball game 3-1, but we still talked about, you know, some of the games we've had, man, where the defense needed to play better. And we knew going into Sunday's game against Washington that the defense needed to play better. But we didn't know we were going to do this, man. You hold an NFL team to 108 total yards, man. Washington only has 70 yards passing, 38 yards rushing on the ground, man. 38. That has a lot to do with how we dominated this football game, man. And talking about those DBs, we also said the DBs, man, needed to play better. We know what we get out of Jalen Ramsey, but the other DBs needed to play better. And I saw, you know, something, man, where they just allowed Washington receivers, man, just 5 catches for 27 yards. So front end of that defense playing extremely well. We needed linebackers to play better, and they did and stepped up. We need the secondary to play better. Not Jalen Ramsey because he's doing his thing, but that's that whole defensive effort, man. So that says a lot that this defense saw what they needed to improve on, shut out the noise, got focused, and put up a dominant performance. Because as I say, Isaac, people don't understand, man, this is the NFL team, and you hold them to 108 total yards. I think we had more rushing yards than they had total yards, man. So, bro, impress.
Indeed. I tell you what, one of the glaring stats is third down, man. On third down, the Washington team was 2 for 13. So that's big. That's our defense shutting them down, putting them in third and long situations. And not only that, but you're giving the offense another opportunity to come out and score points. So it seems as if this defense is gelling. It's going to take some time. Once again, we have to throw in there again that, you know, we didn't have a preseason. So we didn't really have that live action time together as a unit to really start playing the football that's expected to be played by the Los Angeles Rams from a defensive standpoint. But when you can hold a team with only a 2 of 13 on third down, man, you're doing some good stuff out there.
But really, Washington going into the game decided to bench their starting quarterback, Dwayne Haskins, and go with Kyle Allen. And Kyle, look, bro, gave you that work, man. I mean, they shut him down. They knocked him out the game, man. They sacked him twice. He ended up 9 of 13 for 74 yards. So, well, Washington, they said, you know what, we're going to go to Alex Smith. And get, you know, hey, man, big prop to Alex Smith, man. He had a gruesome injury, man, coming back to the NFL, playing his first action since having that injury. But all they did was welcome him to the league, man, welcome him back. They sacked him 6 times. So as a team, we had 8 sacks, man, and just the defensive effort we put forth, I mean, this is just extremely encouraging because this is what we're going to need, man, if we want to win a Super Bowl. And going back to that offense, though, hey, man, we ran the rock. We didn't run the rock effectively. You know, the yard wasn't really there, but we ran them down, bro. We ended up with 129 yards rushing. And that stat again, 30 more carries, the probability of us winning go all the way up. And that's exactly what happened. We had 35 rushes, 129 yards. Jared Goff doing his thing, man. And we got a W, man. And that offensive line, bro, got to shock them out too. Again, just one pressure, one sack against a very, very good Washington football team defensive line, man. So that offense, once again, man, 429 yards, total yards, 66 plays, man. Bro, that's 6.5 yards per play. We rolling, man.
Yeah, Doc. You know what? Big salute to Alex Smith, man, one of my former teammates, man. It's great to see him back out there from just that gruesome injury and all the hard work he put back to get back on the field, man, have an opportunity to play again. But absolutely, man, to be able to just go in with the attempts, the running attempts that we had, 35 attempts, man, it's kind of where you want it. And we want to make sure that you're focused on running a priority. So when you do that, you know, everything else starts to work. The boots, the play action pass and throwing the ball down the field. Great deep shot from Goff to Robert Woods for 56-yard touchdown. Those things right there are all because of your commitment to run the football. And being committed running the football opens up a lot of good things for the offense and just for the whole team as well. So it was great to see young Cam Akers out there get a nice taste, nice couple hits, and nice couple runs, nice couple carries. And Henderson, man, he's still in the mix, man. It's looking like, you know, that room is starting to mesh along with the offensive line room, these guys are meshing together, man, and becoming that dominant running force that we want to be.
Now, you talked about Cam Akers. Cam did make his way back on the football field, man, in the game, man. It ended up a nice game, man. Nice 9 carries for 61 yards, man. 46 of those yards coming on one rush in the fourth quarter, man. We were already up, and we were trying to run the rock, man, and run some clock off, run some time off the clock, man. That's exactly what we did, and Cam got loose for 46 yards. Now, he did get run down by a defensive lineman, but let me say this. Defensive lineman in the NFL extremely fast. So if anybody say that, it'd be like, hey, no, bro. Defenses in the NFL are extremely fast. Defensive linemen, linebackers, man, I know I was run down by plenty of them. So you can't underestimate that. But just talking about that rushing attack, as you said, Cam, nice little game. Darrell Henderson, man, 38 yards on 15 carries, man. That's really just 2 yards a carry. But he had a touchdown rushing, and he caught a touchdown receiving. So he's a threat. He had 3 catches for 30 yards. But just the way we were able to wear that Washington football team defense down by running the football, man. And I just love the fact that Sean McVay is committed to the run. He was committed to the run again, and you see what happened. And just because – and we're able to run the ball like that with Darrell and Cam and Malcolm Brown finished with 8 carries for 30 yards. And you mentioned that touchdown from Goff to Woods, man. That came in the second quarter. 56 yards and what it was, bro. It was a beautiful play action to Darrell Henderson. They know we might have a – we might run the ball. We're a threat at running the ball and play action, man. And Woods ran right past Kendall Fuller, man, to haul in that 56-yard touchdown and ran past the safety and the cornerback, man. And that worked because, as you said, man, their running back group, their running back room is getting good, man, and we are committed to the run. And tight ends had a good game too, man. Gerald Everett, man, 4 catches, 90 yards. Broke some tackles, looked elusive. That's one thing about this Rams offense, man. It's like a different receiver every week, man. That, you know, you can't just look at one or two of them because either one of them will strike you. And this Sunday, it was Gerald Everett, man. Shout out to the tight end, bro.
A lot of weapons on that offense, man. A lot of twos that Jared Goff can play with, Sean McVay can play with. You know, we do a lot, you know, with the pre-snap as well, man, just lining guys up in different spots. Making sure that, you know, defenses don't get this a bead on the looks that we're giving them. And that makes it really good for the offense to be able to manipulate the defense and put them in positions where we can be successful as far as running plays. So there's a lot of different guys that can make plays, catch the ball, and a lot of guys who can, you know, go run after the catch with it. So I think we're on the right path, Doc. I mean, it's looking good. I think we're one of those teams right now, you know, let's be honest, we're a pass interference call against the Buffalo Bills from being 5-0, being undefeated. Dang. But we're kind of flying under the radar right now, man. There's not a lot of talk about the Los Angeles Rams nationally, but just watching, being able to watch every game and the success that we've had versus the NFC East so far, you know, we should have a path or a free path to the playoffs since we're that NFC East champs already.
I agree, man. I mean, we beaten the entire division, man. We're 4-0. Knocked you all out of here. Knocked you all off. And Goff, once again, man, you know what? You're going to get some love from us, bro, because you're balling, man. I mean, like I said, we talked about that the Rams and you needed to come out and get off on a fast start. And we predicted that you would because we knew you all was going to want to prove something because the offense didn't play that well the week before last week against the New York football Giants, man. And you did, man. Goff started off 13-14. And the way you're able to do that, man, is because you have receivers running the right routes. They're in the positions they're supposed to be in, and they catch the ball when you throw it to them. So he has confidence in his entire receiving core and running backs out the backfield, man. And the fact that Darrell Henderson is a threat of catching the football out of the backfield, man, that's even something more and even more pressure we put on defenses, man. So for us to come out and play that way, man, and for the defense to play that way, and I mean, I'm just overly impressed with every facet of the ball game. But one, bro, I got to call him out, dog. I mean, Slauman, man. Samuel Slauman, man. I know his name is Slauman, but come on, dog. He missed the extra point, man. Isaac. Bruce. Hall of Famer. We got to make the count on this dude, man. We don't know what we're going to get, dog.
We got to count on everybody on the team. I mean, him included, because, you know, you start to get these closer games, these tighter games, man, where the kicking game is very, very important, man. So I don't know if it's a rhythm thing for him or, you know, what's he doing as far as his preparation. Maybe he needs to alter something, but we got to make extra points, man. I mean, these extra points are critical, man, because, you know, just about every team is throwing the ball, you know, up and down the field. I mean, so, you know, it's about scoring points. It's about fantasy football. So every point counts, and we need every man on board, him included.
Sam, come on, man. You got to do better, man. I mean, we keep telling you that, man. You really don't even listen to us because we get in, you know, don't let people get in your head, man. You made the NFL team for a reason, man. You're in the NFL for a reason, man. You got to show that you deserve to be there because once we get deeper into the schedule, man, and get to the playoffs, man, we can't just be holding our breath every time you come out there. We got to know that you're going to knock them down, man. Next game, 4-1. We in the division, bro. Hey, we go to San Fran, man. That's what I'm talking about, bro. Finally, a division game, man. We didn't took care of the NFC East. Now it's time to go to the NFC West, brother. San Francisco 49ers, and they got their ass whooped yesterday, bro. The Dolphins beat hold on. At home in San Francisco. Well, they don't play in San Francisco. Where they play, dog? Where is it?
Santa Clara, California.
Santa Clara. In Santa Clara, they gave him the Santa Clara diet, man. Hey, the Dolphins beat the brakes off of them, man. 43-17. And San Fran hasn't won at home. They're 0-3 at home this season, man. And we go there next week for a huge division game, man. I'm rubbing my hands together, man, because this is what we want to see. We ready to see some division teams, man. And we get one. Not only do we get one, we get the one that we don't like, that we hate the most. San Francisco 49ers, bro. They struggling.
NorCal versus South Cal, man. I mean, you know what? You got the last two NFC representatives of the Super Bowl getting ready to match up against each other. It's a huge division game for us. It's always a huge division game for us. There's a bad blood between the two organizations, and it's always been that way. And it's great to see the Southern Cal, Northern Cal battle once again. So we're not going to take this light. I mean, like I said last week, it's not about looking at the record of the team that you're playing, but just really focusing in on who we are as a team and going out being a professional and make sure that we execute the game plans that are given us.
Now, you played for the Rams and you played for the 49ers, man. I mean, when you went down there, man, because it is a huge, you know, huge rivalry, man. The two teams hate each other or whatever, man, at least the two cities, the two organizations. So, you know, how is that, man? You know, you go in there, man, you're a Rams legend. You know, you go to San Fran because they, you know, they want to, you know, they want to use you, your talent and your expertise. But is that rivalry as bad as it is, man? I mean, how was it when you went down there, man, and went into the midst of the madness with the 49ers?
Well, I was introduced to this rivalry way back in 1994 by the Hall of Famer, Jackie Slater. He just let me know, you know, you being a Ram, you just automatically don't like the 49ers. That's just the way it is. I mean, when we drafted Van Jefferson at the second round out of University of Florida, you know, I wrote in a letter to him, listen, you don't like the 49ers no matter what. I mean, that's just the way it is. And make sure you get wins versus this team. But the rivalry is alive and well. I mean, once we came back to Los Angeles and settled back home in Southern California, I mean, it reignited what used to be those great games, great playoff games between the two organizations and the regular season games that we battled with this team. They're a championship organization with five championships, and we're a championship organization as well. So being on the same field again, man, it's that old field. You know, you can throw out great names like the Torrey Holtz, the Jerry Rices, the Joe Montanas, Jim Everett, those guys who played in this rival, they know how intense it is. And I think it's only amplified when you have two new teams with new features, a new stadium, new uniforms. But that infighting, it never stops. And it'll always be there. I'm sure it'll be there come Sunday night when we play these guys.
Were you infighting with yourself, man, when you put on that 88? When you put on that scent, were you looking at yourself in the mirror like, 49, man, I don't like this version of Isaac Bruce. No, I'm just kidding. I know you love Isaac Bruce at all time. But were you in fighting because Rams, now you're 49, man. Hey, hey, how'd you handle that, bro?
What I'm saying? I looked at it as being a mercenary, Doc. I mean, I was a hired hand for 2 years.
Got you.
To go out and take care of business. But you know, it's funny when I had my first game there and I was dressed in the uniform and, you know, I had on the garnet and gold, you know, standing in Candlestick Stadium. I mean, there was no difference from that feeling. But when I looked up in the stand, I mean, those same guys that always, you know, shot me the middle finger. They shot me the middle finger. I expected that. And I kind of shot them a little something, too, because, I mean, the feeling was mutual. I mean, I may be on your side, but I remember what you did.
That's funny as heck, man. So even though you were a 49er, man, 49er fans were still like, man, forget you, IB.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was the same way, Doc.
I love it, man. But hey, NFC West, once again, man, we're still keeping, you know, we're doing our thing, man. Let's just look at how it looks right now. Seattle, bro, I mean, yeah, 5-0, they won again, man. Russell Wilson once again did his thing, man, beat the Vikings this week, 27-26. As you say, we know, we beat Washington 30-10, so we're sitting in that number two spot all by ourselves at 4-1. Arizona, man, they beat the Jets. Same score we beat Washington, 30-10, man. And it's San Francisco again, man. They're now 2-3. Last place in the division, man. They lost to the Dolphins 43-17. As I said, man, they're 0-3 at home. And we got them next week, man. So huge division game, man. Huge opportunity for us, man, to actually win that game. And I think Seattle plays Arizona next week. So they have a division contest as well, man. So the NFC West was looking real good a couple of weeks ago, man. It's still looking pretty good, man, but San Francisco just, you know, that record is just dirty, man, but it's going to be huge for us to get off to a win against that. But Seattle, man, once again, bro, I mean, I think this is their first time starting 5-0, man. I mean, we can't talk about Russell Wilson enough, man. I just got to give him his props, bro.
Yeah, I mean, as we all knew that the winner of this division, man, is going to come out battered and bruised. I mean, you got a lot of good teams in this division. I know that every record in this division isn't, you know, showing that. But these guys have great players for the Cardinals. The 49ers have a bunch of talent on their team, offensively and defensively. And we see what Seattle is doing. So this is going to be one of those divisions that comes down to the wire. And maybe it's the team that's on the field offensively last wins the division. So We're here. We're representing. We're 4-1 right now, and I think we're in a really good position to stake our claim as far as being the division leader and maybe the champion of this division.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And before we get out of here, man, prayers up for Dak Prescott, man. He just a bad injury, man. He suffered this week, man. Yesterday, man, playing against the Giants, man. Just when I saw it, bro, I was just like, oh my gosh, man. I was, you know, I can't even describe it. I don't want to describe it, man. It's been a tough year for Dak, man. He lost his brother. You know, his mom died a couple of years ago, man. Then he admit that he, you know, been dealing with depression, which a lot of professional athletes deal with depression. And for him to admit that, that was huge, man. But, you know, we had that contract talk this offseason, man, and didn't come to a long-term deal. Decide, you know, sign that franchise tag, man, where they paying him like, you know, more than $30 million just for this year. But this is why dudes hold out for a new deal, man, because stuff like this can happen, man. And Dak probably didn't, you know, I pray that he comes back 100%, and I pray that he still gets, you know, what he's due. But, man, that's almost like $120, $130 million loss, man. And you just hate to see that happen to Dak like that, man. And it's a bad injury, dog. And you just hate to see that, Isaac.
Oh, indeed. It's a physical sport, and we all know that. It's a collision sport. And, you know, things like that happen. You know, it's important that, you know, the business part of what we do as athletes off the field is secured and taken care of. So Dak's a young guy. I mean, I think he still has a very bright future, and who knows if it's in Dallas, but he's a winner. I mean, he's been putting up great stats since he's been in this league. This year was no different. So I think the Cowboys, they may have a decision to make here, but I don't see Dak slowing down any kind of way. I think he'll still have that same mentality when he comes back, when he's healthy, when he's whole. And I think he'll be even better, and he's going to be a huge asset to whatever team he's playing for.
Dak, we're praying for you, man. Get well soon, man. You know, all praise to the Most High, man. Put it in his hand, man. He'll heal you, man. Restore you, bring you back even better than you were before, man. You probably will be better than you always were before coming out of this, man. And And we got to give a shout out to the La La team, man. The Lakers, man. They NBA champions, man. You know, hey, LeBron went and had it done, man. And, you know, congratulations to him. But I'm not, you know, I'm not a LeBron fan, but I'm going to shout him out. And I say this, though. You know, people call, you know, he's still not a Lakers legend. He's a legend that plays for the Lakers, but he's not a Lakers legend. But fourth championship, he's now won one with Cleveland, Miami. Man, your Miami Heat, which he just beat, and the Lakers, man. So, come on, man. I know you're a Heat fan, but you got to show the Lakers some love, bro. I mean, it's an organization. They got it done.
Hey, big props to the Lakers. Big man, props to LeBron James. And he is a Laker legend. I mean, he just won a championship for the Lakers. That makes him a Laker legend. And when it's time to have that reunion, guess what? He'll be right there in the center of the things. But you know what? Tremendous job by him and his crew. He led his crew just about in every important stat. Bringing another championship, you know, it's important because, you know, he was playing for Kobe Bryant and Kobe Bryant's daughter, Gigi. So this is big, man. This my hats go out to him. I salute him. Great job, LeBron.
Fourth NBA championship, fourth NBA finals MVP, man. Some people saying he the GOAT. Some people are now saying they saying he the greatest of all time, bro. They have now saying he has surprised. Why are you looking at me like that? But they say he has. They say he has. Go ahead, Doc.
I'm just listening, Doc, because I mean, you know, there's got to be some criteria there. I mean, hey, he's a phenomenal player. He did this at 35 years young. I mean, he was running and gunning and bullying over people last night and still finishing at the rim with a dunk. I mean, at 35. So, you know, what's the criteria for the GOAT? You know what I mean? You got to have that.
Facts, man. And Miami, man, seriously, man, no one expected them to be here, probably aside for you and Miami Heat fans. So, yeah, aside for yourself, you did. You've been rolling with them. You've been saying this for the longest, especially after they restarted the season, man. But you got to get them some props, man. Jimmy Butler has showed the world, man, that he's a superstar. He's a standalone superstar. He can lead a team and take them there because Miami has some good pieces. But when you look at it, man, it's just Jimmy Butler taking care of business, man. This dude has shown that when you talk about the great players in the NBA, when you mention Kawhi Leonard or LeBron or KD or Steph or Anthony Davis, of course, because he's a ball dog, you got to mention Jimmy Butler. You got to, man.
Indeed you do. But here's the thing. I don't think he'll be a standalone superstar for very long. Pat Riley has always been known for going out and bringing some big names to wherever he is. It won't be any different. We got our eye on a East figure that is really good. I mean, I don't know what the tampering rules are for this podcast, but we'll just leave it at that. But Pat Riley will do it once again.
Man, you can say what you want to say. They can't touch you, man. You don't work for the NBA or NBA team, man. But anyway, man, I shout out to the Miami Heat, man. Great season. And shout out to the L.A. Lakers, man, bringing home another championship, man, and playing for who you played for, you know, trying to do it for Kobe and Gigi and their Kobe Bryant family, man. I mean, congratulations, man. It's no surprise. And LeBron, you know, I don't know why. I don't care what Isaac said, man. Yeah, LeBron he's just a legend that plays for the Lakers. He's not a Lakers legend because I guarantee if you get some Lakers fans, diehard Lakers fans, they'll be like, name me some Lakers legends. They ain't going to say LeBron name. Yeah, bro. He got to get them a couple of championships.
Ask them right now.
Right. Oh, yeah. Of course. Okay, yeah, now. Of course.
Let's ask them right now.
How they feeling a day after winning the championship? Yeah, probably call his name bro. First knowing they tripping. That's you right, man. But anything else you want to add before we get up out of here, brother?
Man, you know what? That was awesome, man. So we're going to give LeBron his respect, man. Much respect.
Much respect to LeBron and the Lakers, man. And of course, much respect to our L.A. Rams, man. 4-1. And, oh, bro, we're looking like a Super Bowl squad. I don't care. If they don't want to talk about them, we're going to talk about them. Because that's the name of this podcast, man. Ramblings to talk about the L.A. Rams. So until later this week, we out.